Disarming the militia fighters would be extremely difficult. It has proven difficult in the past. There is no real difference between professional militia on the one hand and armed individuals, armed private individuals. The PFG has tried to do this in the past by setting up camps and retraining people there. But the key question is always money. Money translates directly into militias in Somali context. And so it will be extremely difficult for him to take control of the large groups of former fighters.
What does the government do after that point if its Ethiopian backers then decide to leave?
With Ethiopia's involvement, heavy involvement in this whole war, it is really the crucial point. Once the Ethiopian forces decide to withdraw, or to withdraw at least to the border areas, and restricting themselves to minor operations after that point, that will be the test for the TFG, what extent of capacity of their own they have developed in the meantime. The key challenge for them is, are these forces accepted? A large part of their militia came from the northeastern part of Somalia, from Puntland. It's not clear how many local clan militias they have been able to take in as well, and that determines local acceptance. Secondly, there is a difference in the interest between the Ethiopians and the TFG. The Ethiopians' focus was clearly to remove and to crush, basically, the Islamic Courts Union, whereas the government, of course, has an interest to maintain the power after that point. So once Ethiopian troops leave or withdraw, it will become clear what extent of commitment they have to stability inside Somalia.
Before we get to that stage, however, there is speculation about the imposition of martial law on Saturday. What stops that process going from bad to worse?
First of all, martial law in itself is a funny idea in a context where law doesn't play any role at all. The TFG has been doing whatever it wanted in the course of this conflict. There was very little control or checks and balances on the way that this war proceeded. Same applies to Ethiopia in this context. So the imposition of martial law is probably more reflecting an attempt to act as a state, although there is very little of a state. It is normally meant to allow for legal means that are not available under ordinary circumstances, but that restriction doesn't really exist. So it's likely to indicate a strengthened approach to security, checkpoints, etc., but it doesn't really make any difference whether it's called martial law or not.